Welcome to the Every Nation Taipei podcast. We're here to help you know God, discover your purpose, grow in your relationships, and make a difference in Taipei, Taiwan, and beyond. We hope this message encourages you today.
So if you want to get your Bibles out, we are going to read from Philippians 1, verse 27 to 2, verse 18. And before I start, I want to tell you a story that's stayed with me for a few years now. A previous preacher told me his image of the Bible. And he said, imagine, if you will, a house. And this house has got windows everywhere, on the doors, on the walls, on the roof, 66 windows in total. And he said, all the windows are each chapter or each book in the Bible. The Bible is actually a bibliography of these six books, 66 books. And they're all written by different authors, 40 different authors, three different languages over 1,500 years. And they all have different perspectives, but they all focus on the same thing. Who can tell me what is? Jesus, yes. So I took this picture on our honeymoon. This is a church in Barcelona called the Basilica Sagrada Familia. So this church is still being built. And everything in this church is either raw material or stained glass. Nothing is painted. So that is completely natural. So imagine your house looks like this. Each window that you look into tells you something else about Jesus, about his character, and about his story for us. So let's look into this perspective from Paul's letter to the Philippians as it shows us more of Jesus. But first, let's pray. Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you for your love and your grace for us, Lord. We pray that your Holy Spirit would talk to us today, would open up your word like a new fountain of living waters for us, Lord. That your word would work through us, Lord. We won't walk out of here the same, Lord, that we would be forever changed. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. So as we've read previously, Paul is writing from prison. And he's writing to the church of Philippi. He's saying, thank you for all the financial gifts that you've given me, but then also consider where I am and that I'm in a place of being humbled. I'm in a place of imprisonment. He didn't see it as that. Later on, he thought, well, I'm chained to a Roman soldier, so I have somebody to minister to. And he said, consider this place of humility. And that not everything that we have, not all the physical or financial things that we have leads to joy, but the true joy that we have comes from Jesus. So we take off from verse 27. I'm reading from the NIV. If you have any other translation, that's also good. You can follow with the scripture on the screen. Whatever happens, conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. Then, whatever I come and see you or hear about you in my absence, I will know that you stand firm in the Spirit, the one Spirit, striving together as one for the faith of the gospel, without being frightened in any way by those who oppose you. This is a sign to them that they will be destroyed, but that you will be saved, and that by God. For it has been granted to you on behalf of Christ not only to believe in him, but also to suffer for him, since you are going through the same struggle you saw I had, and now hear that I still have. Therefore, so he says, because of all these things that I've said before, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any common sharing in the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and one in mind. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interest of the others. So, what does unity mean? And what does it mean to conduct yourself in a manner worthy of the good news about Jesus? Jesus shared with the disciples. He told them, "By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples. If you love one another, if you walk the walk and you talk the talk." Paul goes on to say, we are in this struggle together. He's preparing the church and saying, yes, all these things that I've listed are things to celebrate, the things that we have in Christ, but also be prepared that there might be and there will be challenging times ahead. And said, prepare yourself for that. For those who stand in Jesus and in their belief in Jesus Christ, there will be definite trouble. So he's encouraging the church not to stand alone, but stand united as the body of Christ. We're going to play a short video just to illustrate what unity means.
Done. Move it. Hey, you there, pick up the pace. They're falling behind.
Come on, let's go.
Everyone, pull together. We've got a threat to our hands. You there. Here we go.
Yay! Something funny. So I hope I have your interest now and you can see that it's safer to travel in groups, and the same way, it's safer to be in a Christian community. I've used the example before. If you look at a fire and one of the coals or the wood logs rolls off to the side, it easily and quickly starts to wither and die. But then if you pull it back to the main fire, it starts to burn again. And that's what Christian community is about. We're not meant to walk this path alone. So I would encourage you to come talk to anybody on the servant leadership team afterwards. If you're not connected to somebody at church yet, come join us on Saturday for bowling. And then, yeah, if you want to get connected, we would be very happy to do that. So on to humility. So Paul writes a poem about Jesus. And we see that in verse 6 to 11. And in that, we see a symmetrical structure. And this is important. We have a chiasm. Okay, we can go to the next slide. So you'll see here, that's the chiasm. That's the structure of the poem. And you see it goes all the way to D. And the one in the middle, so D is the most important. That's the crux of the whole poem. That's the apex of the whole poem. So let's go through the whole poem and see how it gets structured together. So we see an A, Jesus' glory as God. And that's in verse 6 in chapter 2. Though he was in the form of God, he didn't consider equality with God something to be grasped. We go on to B, Jesus' service to others, verse 7. But he emptied himself, taking the form of a servant. And on to C, Jesus' humility, verse 7 to 8, being born in the likeness of man and being found in human form, he humbled himself. And the most important one, D, Jesus' death. By becoming obedient to the point of death, even the death on a cross. And C, Jesus' exaltation in verse 9. Therefore, God has exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name. And B2, all humanity bows to Jesus. So in verse 10, we see, so that then at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven, on earth, and under the earth. And lastly, we see in verse A, Jesus gives glory to God. In verse 11, and every tongue confess that Jesus is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. And on that structure, you see that they all have something in common. All the A's, Jesus glorious God. In A2, Jesus gives glory to God. In B, Jesus' service to others. And B2, all humanity bows to Jesus. So it gets answered back to Jesus. And C, Jesus' humility. And C2, Jesus' exaltation. And then lastly, Jesus' death. I'd like to tell you a story to further illustrate humility. So there's a pastor, a U.S. pastor, and he's a theologian and an author as well. His name is Brian Chappell. And he did a mission trip to Africa for a while. And he recalls this one tribe and a chief. And he looked at them and saw that the chief had to be the strongest man in that whole tribe. And that he tells of one day, another man went to the well to get water. He fell in and he broke his leg, and then nobody else could go save him. And then the chief heard of this, and he got up, went to the well, looked at it, and then he took off his coat, the mantle that said, I am the king, I am important. He took off his headdress or his crown and put it aside. He got down into the well, picked the guy up, and carried him out. The chief did what no one else in the tribe could do, because he is the strongest man. Only he could lift the injured tribesman out of the well. In order to do this, he had to remove his royal garb and the appearance of royalty to be the servant to his people at that moment. And Jesus did the same to us, for us, by coming to save us as well. Paul mentions the crucifixion, and he says, Jesus chose the cross. So the crucifixion was a very brutal, very embarrassing, humiliating, and very torturous death that you can die. But then you see in Isaiah 53 that it was necessary. Years before Jesus was even on the scene, it was prophesied. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquity. The punishment that brought us peace was on him, and by his wounds we are healed. Jesus didn't abandon his godhood, but for the moment Jesus gave up his glory. He took off his kingly jacket, his headdress, his throne hood, and his praise as his perfect assistance as God. And he came and lived among us so that he could save us. So what is humility? Humility is you look to others and serve their needs before yours. You view them as higher as yourself. That could be the person that's addicted to drugs, your boss, the president of the country. You don't even have to like them, but you have to realize that we are all sinners. We are all in need of a savior. We start to live a life of humility when we realize that every person is just as valuable in the eyes of God as we are. I love how the New Living Translation frames verse 12 to 18. It says, shine brightly for Christ. We read from verse 12. Therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you to will and to act in order to fulfill his good purpose. Do everything without grumbling or arguing, so that you may become blameless and pure, children of God without fault, in a warped and crooked generation. Then you will shine among them like stars in the sky, as you hold firmly to the word of life. And then I will be able to boast on the day of Christ that I did not run or labor in vain. But even if I am being poured out like a drink offering on the sacrifice and service coming from your faith, I am glad and rejoice with all of you, So you too should be glad and rejoice with me. Paul tells the Philippians that even though they will face persecution and danger, their lives as Christians should be consistent with the truth of God and Jesus, who gave himself up in love for others. Suffering because of Jesus is a way of living out the gospel. Paul is trying to get the people of Philippi to sink deep roots into the reality of what Jesus has done, so that they will be able to live transformed lives. Paul compels the church of Philippi to form a community that shines as stars in the midst of a darkened world, and to be filled with peace and unity as they share the gospel with the world. This still rings true for us today. So to recap, unity. Our lives need to represent the good news, the gospel that we believe in. People need to look at us and say, the people from Every Nation Church, Taipei, really walks the walk. They talk the talk. We are doing what we read in the Bible. We are united in the body of Christ. We are being the hands and the feet of Jesus to the world. We are repenting of our sins, and we are forgiving others that sin against us. We are disciplined in our pursuit of knowing Jesus more. We are teaching, baptizing, and making disciples of all the nations. On to humility. Will we lay down ourselves for our brothers and sisters? Shall we value others above ourselves? Short story. Before I got married, I worked at a church, and I dealt with a lot of people. I was part of the welcoming team, and this one time, God showed me this person, and it wasn't obvious that they were in lack or they needed anything, but God told me, empty your wallet and give it to that person. Given it wasn't a lot, but I had to humble myself, put myself in that place and say, yes, Lord, your will, not mine. I didn't know what they did with the money afterwards. I hoped it blessed them. But it was more of a learning experience for me to humble myself to what God is calling me and not to hold on to my earthly possessions. So shine like stars of Christ, stars for Christ. What light do we choose to be in the world? Do we choose to be this lighthouse that, if you can see, there are a few ships on the horizon? A lighthouse that guides others away from destruction? Or do we choose to be the glittering neon lights of the world that entertain and fade away? Shall we be the salt? Matthew 5, verse 14 to 16. You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on a stand and gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see you, your good deeds, and glorify your Father in heaven. So you may be here for the first time. You might be returning to church, or you're still exploring what Christianity looks like. I'd like to extend a hand of welcoming. We can all stand and pray together. Just pray in your heart to Jesus. Well, you might be a mature Christian, but you might have something that keeps you away from God. So this is a prayer for everybody. Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you that your word is living waters to us, Lord, that is refreshing, and that you call us to this new life that you have for us, Lord. For those who aren't believers yet, we pray that, Lord, your Holy Spirit would work in their hearts, that they would say, Lord, I give my life to you. Forgive me of my sins. Lord, change me. Tomorrow is different from today. I am no longer my own person. for all more mature ones of us. Whatever's in front of you that is keeping you from God, take it and give it to Him. For His yoke is easy and light. So Lord, forgive me of my sins. Wash me white as snow. Lord, let your Holy Spirit work in my life and change me, that I'm no longer chained down by sin, by shame. And Lord, let me be a light and let me be salt in this world, Lord. Let I walk the walk and talk the talk. That my life would be evident to the people around me. Lord, help us all to be humble. Help us all to consider others above ourselves. Lord, let your will be done. Let your kingdom come. We ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks, Arpad.
It's a powerful, powerful. I love the illustration of that African chief and Armand, South African. But you know, just that picture of who Jesus is to us. That he was perfectly fine in heaven. His family around him, all the angels, all the universe that he had set in motion. But he loved you and I. And like you and I, Adam and Eve, they messed up and we've all sinned. And Jesus just said, you know, I so love these people that I've created. I want to rescue them from themselves. And you and I, we need that rescuing from ourselves. And I love how you laid out that humility, unity, humility, and being like Jesus, shining like Jesus. You know, such powerful messages. I don't know about you, but that sense of humility is one that I always struggle with. The willingness just to lay down my life. To be interested in more than just myself. And I don't know about you, but I feel like we live in a generation when people are so self-centered or so centered on their tribe and the people they agree with. And there's so much division in the world around us. And I think so much of it goes back to just our pride, our desire to be right, our desire to be better than in and of ourselves. And God comes and he offers a whole different way of life. A whole different picture. We think that getting everything for ourselves is the key to joy. But honestly, the truth is it's the giving of ourselves away that brings joy. Just the same way that Jesus laid down his identity as King of the universe, creator of all. He laid that down in order to give himself to you and I. And you and I have the privilege of being able to live lives just like Jesus. And that's the point of the good news, is that Jesus comes to none of us in and of ourselves. We tend towards selfishness. When kids are born, little babies are born, you know, they start growing up. You usually don't have to teach them to be selfish, to want all the toys for themselves. You usually have to teach them to be generous, to be selfless, to be humble. It goes against our human nature, but Jesus comes to actually transform our nature. And the point of a church like this is that we be a people who encourage each other to be like Jesus. We all have Christ inside of us, but it's so easy to be swayed by the way the world around us is and to come back to shining like lights. I love that picture that you put up of the lighthouse. As opposed to the bright lights and of the neon lights of, you know, I came from New York City, lived a block off Times Square, and you got these bright lights all just competing with each other, but saying very little that matters. And it's all about entertainment. And God calls us not to be just about entertainment, but to say have a voice that matters, like a lighthouse that really saves lives and gives true direction. And that comes as we humble ourselves and receive Christ. And I love that God calls us together as one, that word you began with, unity. that we as the body of Christ, I love this church that God is forming. It was so much fun being at the water park yesterday with the families and just seeing these different families that have just come together from around the world and seeing them play together and then seeing them playing with, it was like just a ton of kids out there. I just never been, it's like a madhouse of kids at the water park, you know. It was, but so much joy and so much life as they come and play as one. And I thought, that's the picture of what the church is to be like. That we come from all over the world. God brings us together. And as we come together and are filled with the joy of Jesus, and it's not just one person saying, no, this is my pool, get out of my place. But we're all coming to share together. And that's what Christ offers us. The ability to come and share in his joy and his life. And the Bible says we're to be like that. I mean, it was so hot. How many, summer here in Thailand, it's just so hot. Getting into that cool, refreshing water. I thought, man, I was dressed because I had a meeting afterwards. I thought, I want to just jump in that water and get, refreshed. The truth is, that's what this is meant to be. A place where people come to be refreshed because of the life of Jesus in us. That's what it means to shine as lights. The way that Jesus came, simply laid down his life for you and I, so that we could find relief from the brokenness of our sin and the mess that sin makes in our lives and in the world around us. That's what Jesus came to do. And that's what we're called to do. To be a place where people can just find love. Be a place where people can find hope, to be a place where people can find faith. Paul says that's what leads to joy, the kind of uncommon joy that no matter what you face, like Paul being in prison as he's preaching to the Philippians, an uncommon joy. And that's what Jesus offers to you and I. And that's what we as a church want to offer to the world. That this is a place where people can know they can always come and be loved. Doesn't matter where you come from, what you've done. That people can come here and know there's always hope. Doesn't matter what your future looks like to you or the challenges that are facing you. Jesus went into a grave for 3 days and came back. Paul was beaten and thrown into prison and came back. You and I, it doesn't matter what we face, God's got to come back for you, and there's always hope. And so that's what we want to minister to you. As a church, that's what you want to leave you with. And this is the fellowship that Christ invites us into. And I want to pray for us as a church, that God would, that's what God would create here. That this would be a community of uncommon joy, that this would be like Taipei Water Station in the midst of the brutal heat of the Taipei summer. People would come here and just find refreshing. But that starts when it happens first in our hearts, when we discover the refreshing of Christ in our own hearts, and then we share it together. So would you bow your heads with me for just a moment? Heavenly Father, we are so grateful for your word today. That you call us together into a place of unity. That we can be one with you and that we can be one with each other. Father, I pray that you would help us to leave behind the things of this world that so often divide us. The thoughts and the values of the culture we live in that so tend to selfishness. God, I pray that you would shift that in our hearts. That your spirit, even now, would point out the areas in our lives where we've bought into the lies that lead to selfishness, that lead to division, that lead to unhappiness, that lead to this always wanting more in our lives. Always feeling like we're not enough. But God, that in you, we would see that all that we need is there. And Father, I pray that you would bring us into our hearts, into a place of humility, just to recognize that we do need you. Lord, our hearts tend so to independence, of thinking we can make it on our own, but God, we just recognize that we need you. So we humble ourselves. I say, Father, we want to stop doing this on our own. Come and surrender our lives to you. And Father, our prayer is that we as individuals, we as a church, would shine like lights. That we would be a place of refreshing to a world around us just beat down under the weight of sin, under the ways that the world just grinds us down, divides us, frustrates us. God, may we find you and the peace that comes from you, the uncommon joy that comes from connection with you, that your life in us, Lord, would just continue to grow as we make you Lord of our lives. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for listening. We pray this message spoke to you and built your faith. For more messages like this, visit our website at everynationtaipei.com. You can also send a prayer request and reach out to us anytime. God bless you. Till next time.